Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things in the world of Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
Cool stuff there. Hey, the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. Brand new version now, universal binary, so you can actually get a copy and run it on your beautiful Macintel box. Also, DVD XDV, the coolest software for taking content that has been put onto a DVD, a non-encrypted DVD that you own the full rights to. Take this great software that you've created, this cool video, take it off of the DVD, and then utilize it in anything else that works in QuickTime, i.e. you can use it in Final Cut Express, Final Cut Pro, an Avid Nitrous system, a Unity deal from Avid. You can use it in anything that you want. Pull it off, reutilize it, cool stuff. Great way to archive your footage, burn it to a DVD, encode it as a high-quality MPEG-2, maybe a 4-to-1, 5-to-1 compression ratio, put it on a DVD. You don't have to clog your hard drive up, but you can still pull it off later and get great results.
Yeah.
You know, I've used it personally, taking stuff off a 10-to-1 DVD, a commercial, that I'm doing some stuff for that's, you know, commercially licensed, you know, I mean, we have the rights to the content, and then uncompress it back to 8-bit 8.2.2.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Looks beautiful.
Cool stuff. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook Pro. Cool stuff there. You can get iPods, you name it. They got it cooking over there. Those cats at MCE Tech are cool. Check it out, MCETech.com, the new official storage solutions provider for the Inside Mac radio program. Our friends over at FirmTech for the coolest SATA stuff. I've been using it. Brad's using it.
Oh, I love it.
On
I
your MacBook
it.
Pro?
I absolutely love it. It's just...
Isn't it cool?
It's so cool.
It is. I mean, you got the new Express 34 card slot, dual port SATA card.
Yeah.
And one of the dual drive solutions.
Yeah.
And it's fast. It rocks.
It rocks. It feels like you can just leave your G5 in a closet somewhere and just never pull it out. You know, you can just take this thing. You'd be happy just doing great video, doing all kinds of great stuff on your MacBook Pro.
You know, really anymore, I think with the speed of the PowerBooks, and the solution from FirmTech just lets you use the Express card or the MacBook Pro. Their small drive, you know, I have a small one. What did you put in yours? I have 300 gig drives in mine.
Oh, I can't remember
now.
So
I have 600 gig.
I think I've got 500s. I've got a terabyte.
So you got a terabyte.
You're
a slime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I only got 600, you know, gig. He's got a terabyte, loser. you know, really, I can put this in my Brent Haven backpack with my PowerBook.
Yeah.
And I'm using a PowerBook G4, so I have the full-size PCI MCA slot. It's pretty cool.
It's so cool. It's just, it's great.
It's fast.
It's really fast. It's just the, you know, because with computers, the hard drive is sort of the bottleneck. I mean, everything is really fast. You got fast RAM. You got fast processors. You got all of this stuff is just fast. And then you go to your hard drive and it's just,
it's amazing,
dying.
Too, because, you know, you have this portable G5 type unit, this cool MacBook Pro. You're in the cool guy club, okay? I got a 17-inch PowerBook G4. I use the PCMCIA full-size adapter.
Yeah.
With my small little girly drives, my 600 gigs of SATA storage. But honestly, I can open a half-hour television program that's 8-bit, 422 uncompressed, 720, 480, NTSC full-size. Dude, I can scrub that thing as fast as I can yank the mouse back and forth on my PowerBook G4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, it doesn't drop a frame. That thing honks it down, baby.
Oh yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing is that when you work with uncompressed media, it's the only way to go. SATA RAID.
That's it.
And not only that, but the unit is so well made. It's so reliable. I mean, that thing could take a direct missile to the side and still keep going.
Yeah, they have some cool stuff. So we're gonna talk more about those cats, but we like to work on FirmTech. You can check them out at FIRMTEK, FirmTech.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright, and next up we're gonna have Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, talking about all the cool things going on in the world of production, post-production, distribution, you name it, it's all here on the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. Now Universal Binary. Check it out if you're an Intel processor user. Philip is too.
Philip is Universal
Binary.
Philip
is a Universal Binary guy. He's a migrator too. I'm still PowerPC, dude, to the core.
Yeah.
I have to pry that PowerPC processor from my cold, dead fingers.
You just want the Core 2 duo so that you can be one up on us.
That's right. I'm waiting.
That's right, because, they say by the end of the year that Intel, not Apple, but they say by the end of the year, they're looking at potentially doing a four-way CPU.
Yeah, but the Core 2 duo is an update from the ones that we've got, and they're faster and full 64-bit, and they're out now. So, heck, who knows what might be announced on Monday.
We can pray for the Christmas goodies are coming. Don't look in the closet, but bloody hell, I hope it's there.
Christmas in August. Of course, you're going to be waiting until Christmas once you try to get your hands on one of those.
That's okay. I'm patient. I'm still using a 1.5 gigahertz G4.
Yeah.
And
I'm happy with it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy with it. I swear I am.
Even back on Friday, there was a banner up for the WWDC, and on Friday it wasn't showing anything particularly new. But I think that's just like the Apple confusing banner. It's like, this is the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday banner, and on Monday there'll be a whole new banner.
Well, I drove by Moscone yesterday, Moscone West.
Yeah.
Yep. And all the stuff is up in the main lobby, and there's some big banners hanging up, brother, and they're all covered in black.
And there's guys with AK-47s standing around. touch the banner, you die.
Hey, what is it about summer and new camcorders? What is it about July and August and new camcorders in particular? Because, we not only had the JVC H110 and then the two new cameras from Canon. Canon are at it again with another HDV camcorder called the HV10.
Oh, so that's three now. Three consumer-sized camcorders. Or am I losing count?
No. The G1 and A1 are kind of a little bit bigger form factor. This one is a real tiny form factor. It's like 2.2 by 4.1 by 4.17 inches, like a palm quarter type
Wow.
And it weighs just 1.1 pounds with battery and tape. They're claiming that this is the smallest camcorder, smallest and lightest HD camcorder on the market, smaller even than Sony's HDR HC3.
It is
just a little bit bigger.
It's a beautiful camera. I saw it about a month and a half ago at an NDA event for Canon before they announced it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can talk about it, and it's bad. It's like an Optura, 600? Very small camera, but it's HDV.
1080i, 10 times optical zoom, optical image stabilization, all the good stuff.
Really everything you need, but now you can take high definition on the road with you, for vacations, or wherever else.
It's supposed to be selling recommended price. Well, in Japan, it's going to sell for about the equivalent of $1,310 US. So I'm guessing a $1,299 official price and probably quite a bit less out on the street after a while.
Well, that's really going to drive out people just buying regular DV cameras, because that's the price of what regular DV cameras used to be.
Absolutely. Can't see much point in buying a regular DV camera anymore.
No, especially with that kind of stuff and that small of a camera and that kind of pricing, there's no reason to buy a DV, a 25 megabit camera. Why?
Yeah.
A standard DV, might as well buy an HDV.
Well, you've got standard DV in every one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can always roll back. You're not losing it, but you would get a better piece of glass potentially because you'd probably get a better sensor and maybe some other bells and whistles.
You're going to be oversampling for DV. It's going to make a great standard definition camera and a really, okay HD camera. I mean, I've done it for $1,200, I don't expect to get, an H1 or anything. Unrealistic.
I'm just wondering, though. Okay, so it's a standard, HDV camera. You bring the footage into Final Cut, and you convert the stuff back to, let's say you convert it to DVC Pro 50.
Yep.
Is it going to look any better than something that just shot on a regular? I mean, it's still 25 megabit, even though it's got this higher resolution to it. If you shrink this stuff down to 4.3 NTSC, are you going to get a better image out of these cameras, or it doesn't matter at all if you're going to do normal broadcast quality stuff?
You are going to get a better image out of these cameras than you are out of a pure standard def DV camera.
DV's dead. It's done.
DV, yep, it's over. It's done.
As well as standard definition cameras only are sort of like going the way of the dodo bird, or the, you know, I mean, they're becoming
no
extinct.
Point to it.
See, you know, all my cameras are just like my PowerBook, the dodo bird. That's
yes.
me.
And the good thing is, unlike the AVC HD that Sony announced just a couple of weeks ago, and Panasonic no doubt will do something with in the future, this works with editing gear right now. You can actually use this and edit it. AVC HD is no longer-term proposition. Mm-hmm. Hey, and, you know, I love lens flares. I almost never did anything very much without a lens flare, and Knoll's Light Factory now is up to 2.5. They've added extra, another 25 preset flares, made them GPU-rendered, added control brightness and scale, and built-in alpha integration automatically. And they put in support for Final Cut, Avid, Premiere Pro, all of the good stuff.
Lens flares are cool.
If you're into lens flares. But, of course, this week is SIGGRAPH. And so you'd expect a few little announcements in the 3D area, and certainly we've got that. New Tech demoed their next generation of technologies and announced and demonstrated a universal binary version of Lightwave 9 for Mac users, which is all good. And, of course, Autodesk were busy with announcing 3D Studio Max 9 for release later this year, but it's going to have a whole new 64-bit architecture, a layering blending system, optimizations in wireframe, you know, just bigger, faster, better, and better integration with Maya, because that, of course, is now Autodesk Maya, and they launched Maya 8, released this month in English. If you speak something other than English, you'll have to wait a little bit longer. And it's also going to be 64-bit, multi-threading, algorithmic optimizations. It's only going to be 64-bit for Windows and Linux, though.
Oh.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, at least for now, you know, who knows what Apple has up its sleeve.
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, the Intel Macs that are shipping are back to 32-bit Macs, but that's where the Core 2 Duo would be nice, because that's the 64-bit, and the Woodrow chip, which is the Core 2 Duo Extreme, or is that the Xeon? I get confused with Intel's product lines. That's the one that's probably going to be used in Apple's new desktop workstations and things. Think of that. Of course, you're going to be talking later in the show with Barb Duhart about Telestream acquiring Popwire. That gives them a much stronger marketing presence in the U.S. And I think, you know, while I'm a little sad that it's sort of the only two companies that were doing Windows Media for Mac under the same heading, and that'll mean competition is a little less, it does mean that it'll be a stronger future for Popwire. And I'm pleased to hear about that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, it allows that Windows Media is going to be better supported on the Macintosh.
Yeah, we don't have anyone that's doing Windows Media DRM on the Mac, so the Mac users are going to be a little bit out of the picture for that particular problem, so in terms of distribution of content. But I think DRM will eventually die, because it doesn't make any good business sense. But we don't have time for me to rant about that right now. If you've got some material, just before I wrap up, if you've got material that you think other people might be prepared to buy, iStock Photo are now taking user-generated stock video for sale, and you'll get a cut on that.
Cool. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. You can check his show out, digitalproductionbuzz.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. You can take that great footage that you made on that DVD and you need to pull it back off and send another copy off, slightly modified to grandma for the cleaned down version. No problem. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Very cool software. Right now we're here with Andy Shallett with his graphic tip, his Mac design out-of-the-box tip of the week. How are we doing, Andrew?
Very good, Scott.
So what's happening, buddy?
Well, this last week I've been playing with a new web design application. And, you know, I'm always, as I do a lot, probably 85% of my work lately has been web design. And I'm always looking for the I wouldn't say the cheap way out. I'd say the efficient way out as far as designing whole sites and getting them up and getting them ready so that the client can look at them and change this and change that. And there are certain solutions that I always look for where after I set something up, you know, I lock it out into a template and then I send it to the client so they can't really play with things. They get it contribute or something like that, and then they can make their little changes, but they can't do everything. They can't change my graphic design on it. What I was just looking at this week, because I'm a Dreamweaver user, I was looking at Web Assist's Site Assist. Site Assist is a plugin or an extension for Dreamweaver, which makes it very cool because it's not a separate application. So when I bring it in to Dreamweaver, I'm still using Dreamweaver, all the familiar tools, plus it's got a lot of preset designs and templates, and it will essentially, in a few clicks, you can create a whole new site. And they just came out with a new version, so I got to look at it before it went final. It went final yesterday, actually. It's out in the stores now, and it's downloadable.
So is this sort of like, do all of your graphics and your layout for you as a plugin inside Dreamweaver?
Yes.
So it kind of does all of those things.
They have some very nice templates. They actually hired designers to do the templates for once. But there's something about this that makes it unique, I think, is that nowadays there are two types of designs for webs. There is a table-based design, which is what I like to do because I'm a designer. I like to have my hands on and squish things around stuff. And then there's this new CSS or cascading style sheet.
Yep.
Style, which is very nice because it's really light, it's easy, it's easy to change and modify. It's also very good for the search engines because for some reason they get more info quickly through CSS than they do through a table-based design. So this thing uses CSS design. You can choose to do other ones as well, but it's got a wizard. So what you do is you import this this extension, you use the wizard, the Site Assist wizard, and it walks you through a number of steps for your designs, and you can change things on the fly there and just use what they have. Or once you set it up, you can also modify it. Because it's CSS based, you can go into the cascading style sheet itself, change colors, change sizes, do a lot of different things. Now, I'm not a big CSS guy because, like I say, I'm more of a painter than I am an engineer. And
yeah.
CSS is much more sort of going by numbers.
Yeah, yeah, but, absolutely.
And so it's sort of like backward design to somebody like me. But I made adjustments. I did have a few RTFM errors. People who are in the know what that means. It's read the manual, which I didn't do. And so I came across a few problems, but then I realized afterwards that they were my problems, not the applications. And actually, I got right back on it. I changed images. They have preset images. I just opened up Fireworks, changed them, made my adjustments, put it back in, did a whole site in about a day and a half. The thing that's cool about it is that I realized that now I've got clients who want to see three different designs.
Okay. More work.
I can go click, click, click. I get three separate things instantly.
Andy, awesome. How do they get more information on Andrew Shallett, your books, all the cool stuff that you're up to, brother?
Okay, go to shallett.com and check me out. And if you want to see about this thing, it's siteassist.com. I think it's a worthy product. I don't say that often, but this is a good one.
Thanks, Andy. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you need to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, a G5 Quad, an iPod, a SuperDrive upgrade for your PowerBook G4, for your G5, for your G3, G4, you name it, check these cats out, MCETech.com. That's MCETech.com. They also have memory.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal on memory.
Yeah.
I just got 8 gigabytes from them.
Oh, really?
G5.
Oh, nice.
8 1-gig little sticklets.
Yeah.
Like little chiclets, you know.
Remember that a few years back, that would cost you, you know, like a price of a house, you know.
Yeah, really, now it's like about $200 a gig.
Yeah.
Per stick, something like that. I don't
know. It's not bad, yeah. It's come down a lot.
It's still spending to put 8 gig in a machine, but.
Yeah, it is. But it's getting a little
more
reasonable.
These are 1-gig sticks. You can buy the half megs cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but you only got 8 slots in a G5.
Yeah.
If you want 8 gig, then you have to put 1 gig sticks.
Yeah.
Check them out, mcetech.com. Right now we got little Sammy Levin with us, the purveyor of cool Mac picks. Hello, Sam.
And
how are we?
It is cool today, and today it's all about iChat.
Really?
I'm telling you, Scott, I actually did a little bit of iChatting with Scott, but with a twist. There's a couple companies on the scene that have produced some kick-butt enhancements for iChat that are built right in. So, for instance, one of the companies is called Ecamm Network. So it's ecamm.com, ecamm.com. They make a host of really cool enhancements for iChat. Now, today I'm only going to focus on one of them called eyeglasses. Just like glasses you wear, it allows you to do screen overlays and wicked cool colorization while you're chatting using your video iChat, of course. You can do night scope, like, you know,
you're in the desert.
You're in the desert and you're searching out tanks, and all of a sudden it goes green. It also inverts the screen. It flips it. It rotates it. I think it's a gas. It's inexpensive. It's only $8. It's from these guys called Ecamm Network. They make a number of other things. I think it's great. You got to check it out. They have a whole host of other things that it does for eyeglasses. You can brighten your eyesight camera, enhance it, super bright, sepia, macro focus, all for $8. And next week I'll tell you more about what they're doing. They have a recorder software that records everything, including your video, from anyone. It's called Ecamm Networks. Check it out today at ecamm.com. Next up is a really cool company out of Offenburg, Germany, called Showmaxter. That's exactly how it's spelled, Showmaxter, M-A-C-S-T-E-R. It allows you to instantly, over iChat, once you invoke iChat video, you can drag and drop a AVI MP3 QuickTime movie onto the screen, and you and your recipient are watching the same movie.
Brad, oh, that's great.
Brad,
oh, that's great.
You would love this product. It not only does that, it screen records anything. Now, how many times have you taken your eyesight, turned it on something, or your screen saying, hey, Sam, check out my screen. Now you just grab the screen, you select whatever area, and it will immediately record whatever is recording on the screen.
Hey, that's fantastic. I know some guys in the film business and the television business that would be really happy about using something like that.
It's so useful. It's $21 from Showmaxter.com. It also has a sketch tool so you can draw while you're drawing. Think of the long-distance learning things that you can do. I think it is remarkable. I showed it to an education guy from Apple last night. He was in Charlotte, and he goes, we should have this for my team. I'm very impressed with these guys. They're going to be at WWDC. They're out of Germany, and they're going to be showing a new podcast utility as well. But check it out. It's $21 from Showmaxter.com and Ecamm Networks called Eyeglasses. I love these guys. Very useful.
Cool,
if
Sammy.
Using iChat.
Thanks so much there, buddy. That was Sam Levin with his Cool Mac Picks. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution,
what's really happening now and in your digital future. The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by FirmTech, the leaders in Macintosh serial ATA enclosures, interface cards. Doesn't matter if you have a MacBook Pro with the Express 34 card, a regular MacBook with a PCI MCA card, or a G5. You need it. They got it. Check them out. Rocking stuff. FirmTech. It's FIRMTEK, FirmTech.com.
We're going to be shooting some great video coming up for WWDC.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We're going to spend this segment. We're going to talk about Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, and that's coming up here starting Monday in a couple days here in San Francisco.
Yes.
And we're going to start off with a keynote by Steve Jobs. There's going to be a Steve note.
Yes. There's going to be some toys coming.
You know, I suspect there's something probably tasty coming down the pipeline.
He usually doesn't show up unless he's going to bring the toys.
Or he has some big major announcement.
What do you think else is going to be going on this week? I mean, there's some really... I mean, the WWDC is a fantastic event if you haven't seen it.
It is a developers conference. It's not a power users conference. It's a developers conference.
It isn't for everybody.
No,
yeah.
No.
I don't think you could sit in
and
a lot
what's very interesting is I went a couple years ago specifically to do the QuickTime track. They used to have a conference called QuickTime Live.
Mm-hmm.
That was produced by a company called Mactivity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Apple brought that into Worldwide Developers Conference, and they had a track on QuickTime stuff. And, you know, it was, I don't know, it wasn't as good, personally, I thought, as what they had produced and done over at QuickTime Live. I mean, there's some good stuff there, though, and I think for the dough, I mean, it's $1,500 mm-hmm. for 5 days.
Yeah.
You get a couple pieces of swag.
Yeah.
You're
going to
get some new versions of macOS 10.5 developer software. So if you're a developer and you're NDA'd under Apple and all that stuff, you're going to get some of the brand new next version of the operating system. You're going to get some stuff handed out. I think and they're going to feed you every day. And, you know, they give you, there's tons of food and
yeah.
there's tons of Krispy Kremes, and there's enough stuff to put you into a diabetic seizure.
Well, it's really like, it's I think the community aspect of
that's
it.
That's what I was going to get to.
I've been through it. This will be my third year in a row at WWDC. And I think the community aspect of it is really probably the most interesting. Because, you know, the Mac community isn't massive and huge. It's a group of very tight, small group of people relative to the entire computer universe, but it's all kind of the sort of same type of people. They're all very dynamic. They're all very interesting. They're all doing great, interesting stuff on the Macintosh, which is really just a great place to be developing. I mean, I think
the gig with WWDC is it's a networking event. Like I said, they feed you good. There's some swag. You get to go to Apple for a ripping party.
Yeah, but you can get that almost anywhere. I think it's the camaraderie and the feeling that you get from
it is, and the networking to be able to actually hang out and say, hey, you know, that's the guy that wrote the software that I use. And
yeah.
Even more, though, is you do a lot of stuff with the QuickTime API. You basically exclusively work with QuickTime mm-hmm. API and Apple's user interface builder.
Yes.
Okay. The thing is, you can go to John Galenzi, uh-huh. that's in charge of the whole user interface experience for the Mac, and ask John a specific question. If he doesn't know it, he's going to go, and some cat's going to come over. You guys are going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You're going to talk to the guy that wrote that software that
yeah.
makes the UIs, and John that sets down the guidelines for why the border should be 20 pixels here and 10 pixels here, and why you need to make your app look better.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll sit down with you and help you. It's free.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't cost anything. You can go ask an engineer that wrote that QuickTime API and go, why does it encode different using the QuickTime API than it bloody does in Compressor?
Yes.
And they're going to explain to you.
Because mm-hmm.
you can't publicize yourself. Everybody's under NDA. These guys pretty openly talk about what's really going on.
Yeah.
They're not going to blow a lot of smoke. It's pretty straightforward.
I think that's really it. I think where Apple excels is their way of interacting with their developers. I mean, I really think that's probably the strongest aspect of their strategy is just the way they take care of the developers. And you really see that when you go to WWDC. You really see the way they get all of the right people, like you're saying, they bring all the right people into the room where you can get your answers taken care of, you can get your issues taken care of that you would have, get knowledge you wouldn't be able to find anywhere else, and then just be part of this great, big, giant sort of Macintosh developer festival. I mean, just really this camaraderie is pretty amazing. And of course, not to mention the fact that they always have a big band at the Thursday night Apple campus. And so they take everybody in a bus, and there's like, well, not just one bus, but there's just a line of buses at Moscone, and they truck you all the way down to the Apple campus from San Francisco into Cupertino. And then they have a big band. Last year it was the Wallflowers, which was amazing. I mean, inside the campus, it was fantastic. The year before that, it was Johnny Eats World.
Yeah, it's fun.
It was great.
Good food.
Oh, it's just the whole thing is just fantastic.
Just don't plan on going to the Apple store and buying anything unless you get there really early, because it's going to be all gone.
Oh, yeah.
And stripped to the gunnels beforehand.
That's probably the one thing that you probably don't want to go that day to go find your Apple t-shirt. It's not the day, because the line to get into the Apple store that day at the Campus Party Bash is literally 3 hours long. It's crazy. If you can go back the next day, you're better off. Or Saturday. Stick around one more day and go see it. But it really is something else. It's like part of a community, a whole group of people. You have people coming in from all over the world. And the other interesting thing that Apple does is they also target the students. They go out and they find some of the hotshot developers out in the student, in the universities, and say they're just students, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And they bring those guys in to try to get them on board and get them...
It's a great conference, and like mm-hmm. I said, it's going to be very interesting to see what Steve has to say next week. I'm sure they're going to continue their announcement stuff in regards to the rollout of the Intel processor. There's been a bunch of stuff talking in the industry about some new NVIDIA, some new ATI card technology. Intel has released a whole slew of new processors here in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, we can't even keep up with them. You know, there's so many different ones.
So it's going to be interesting. Are we going to see speed bumps maybe in some current hardware? Are we going to see an actual new Mac Tower? Nobody really knows.
But, you know, we have more choices than we did a year ago. And I think that's one of the beauty of what's the changes that have happened just in the last year. I mean, there are so many more choices. There's so many more options that are available to Apple now that it's... can support both platforms. I mean, it is really just an amazing change in just 1 year.
Yeah, so like I said, that's coming up. We're going to be there. Give me some exclusive live coverage from inside Mac TV.
Yeah, I know. We'll be talking. We'll probably get a chance to talk to some of the big guys at Apple. Probably not Steve.
No, but we'll have some highlights of the keynote. It's probably a separate broadcast.
Yeah.
We'll probably have a separate couple interviews, and I think we're going to grab probably a few guys on camera, some cats over at Macworld. Maybe we'll talk to a couple guys over there. Whoever we can see that's sort of hanging out after the keynote, maybe we'll get some stuff beforehand. You know, we don't like to really speculate here on what's going to be pre-announced, but we'll probably get a bunch of stuff after the keynote to get people's reaction within the industry so people can actually see what's going on. So we're going to work on some of that stuff, and we'll definitely have a highlight package from the keynote itself from Steve.
Yeah, we're going to be slicing and dicing this thing really pretty much as soon as the thing is over. I mean, we're going to try to get it up on the web as quickly as possible.
Because when's your first class actually go down that you're going to attend?
There's like a two-hour break, so we've got a two-hour window, I think, before we have to really...
So we go back over to we're going to haul back across the street over to the Metreon.
Yeah.
And sit down there at the Noodle House probably and start tearing it up.
Yeah.
Bring our firm tech SATA drives and start capturing. Maybe we'll try to shoot right to disk.
I think we might have to. Yeah, I think we might have to. It's going to be really
good. Everything we've used so far, though, to shoot direct to disk, and maybe if anybody has any personal comments or feedback on direct to disk video recording, you know, we've tried a couple units. We've tried every unit except the one from Focus Enhancements. Just saying that alone, not going to say anything else. We haven't tried the one from Data Video. They make a big unit with a desktop drive that rocks.
Yeah.
The hair rocks.
Yes.
We're going to play with one here, I think, pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But, we haven't tried the mobile unit, and that's really a way to go is direct to disk, because it really saves, like, you know, what if we shoot an hour's worth of content?
You got a whole hour to capture it, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Let's say I'm up on the platform, I shoot the whole keynote with Mr. Jobs.
That'll be about a two-hour show.
Okay, well, but guess what? I got to flip tapes in between the gig,
mm-hmm.
and I got 2 hours to capture before I can even start chopping.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that runs into an issue. So, you know, we like to try to get our stuff up in a timely fashion after one of these events.
Yes.
Maybe I need to talk to our buddies over at Data Video, make a trip down here to the South Bay tomorrow to pick up
a monster storage. Yeah, big
one. You know,
one.
Put a 100-gig drive in this unit, and at least you can walk up on the front panel, hit record, and then roll the tape.
Yeah.
And if you're standing there with it, or we strap the thing to a tripod, it might work. But if anybody's got any feedback, radio@insidemac.com. Tell us about your experiences with direct-to-disc video recording. Either way, you're going to see exclusive coverage, Worldwide Developer Conference. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our creative partners, Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and you want to enhance your learning, learn some new tricks for Photoshop, Go Live, InDesign, Dreamweaver, Fireworks. I mean, you just did a brand new website. Fireworks and Dreamweaver.
Oh yeah, they integrate. I hope they keep working on those two products. They work so well together, especially Fireworks. Once you get the hang of it, it's amazing what you can do. I like it so much better than anything else I've ever tried. It's fabulous. You know, a great application. It integrates really well with Dreamweaver, so worth checking out.
But like I said, those cats got all kinds of cool tips, newsletters, forums, great articles, reviews, you name it. These cats are rocking, brother. Check them out, creativepro.com. So, WWDC, we got that deal coming up Monday. We're going to shoot a bunch of stuff. We're going to have some more Inside Mac television segments coming along. We're going to have more Inside Mac TV for people as soon as we get our stuff together here.
Yes, yes.
And our secret sites. What kind of stuff? and we get our studio built out, you know?
Yeah. The secret site. The secret Inside Mac studio.
Yeah, but another thing, too, is we're going to start laying down some more in the city because the weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
We're going to have a few more months here, I think, of decent weather.
Yes.
So we're going to run out and start doing some aggressive shooting. Everybody's going to be in town for like the next month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
Talk about a lot of products we've got in queue.
Yeah.
Just expand our franchise.
Oh, absolutely. So, and San Francisco is a beautiful place just to shoot video. It's gorgeous scenery, beautiful places to just to go.
Yeah, so we'll see how many more people can whine because they don't like the look of, you know, Treasure Island in the background and the big yachts. <you know?
laughs> To me, that's pretty cool stuff.
Maybe we'll go find Gutter Alley.
What would you rather see, like a guy standing against a white wall with a talking head, you know, or would you like to see beautiful shots of water and bridges and everything?
How about some nasty chroma key with green on the side of your head?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that's good. Let's track that with video noise.
GPS too. Whoa. Cool. There's a couple other gigs coming up here soon, too. We got a couple other shows that actually happen. There's Wedding and Event Video Expo. It's the WEVA. You know, the Wedding and Event Videographers Association has a huge show coming up here in like, 3.5 weeks in Las Vegas. So I think I'm going to go over. You should go with me. We should go over for the day. I was going to fly there and fly back the same day during the week. It's like Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think it's the same week as the... Lassie Pug. We should go to Vegas and then go to LA and come back.
that's a heck of a road trip there.
it's a big show. I mean, it's a really big show. It eats up all of the Mandalay Bay Convention Center.
Wow.
And it's a big gig. You know, and the wedding and event video business is big.
Yeah. And I smell lobster bisque at the House of Lords.
Yeah, and all these people need to buy DVD XDV, and I don't know, we should work this into a gig here. I didn't even think about this. We still got about 3 weeks. I checked the flights. You know, most people can fly to Vegas for about $100 each way right now.
Wow.
You know, I said we go there, fly to Vegas, fly back in L.A., stay the night, do the Lassie Pug meeting, and blow out.
Yeah,
no, you know, I really think that's a big market for even, the DVD market is a lot of people burn stuff to DVDs and need to pull it back off later. And it could be a sort of a guerrilla marketing trip and not really deal with the booth and maybe just walk around and do a little handout.
See what's happening.
Hand some stuff out so they kick us out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So the show promoter just freaks out and loses it, man.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of video stuff. Another thing I want to talk about later in the show here is I just got us, for our equipment pool, a brand new Steadicam Merlin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're going to have some, if I can get this thing set up and working right, we're going to have some really cool dynamic footage from the Worldwide Developer Conference. Yeah,
nice.
Steadicam, brother. So,
nice.
Bringing that production level to the next deal.
Yeah.
So take that XL1 and throw it in the can there, brothers, and step up to the pay window, and it'll be cool. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We're talking about all things Mac. Next, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have the cats on from IDG World Expo, Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News program. We're going to have Bob DeHart on, the vice president for Flip for Mac from Telestream, and talk about Flip for Mac. And, of course, they just bought Popwire. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. The Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, MCE Technologies, DVD, XDV, and FirmTech. Our media partners are Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, The Digital Production Buzz, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac show over at InsideMacRadio.com or InsideMacTV.com, whichever flavor you would like to enjoy for the day.
Yes, get it all at one site.
Got a bunch of fabulous stuff happening in the land of Mac here coming up. We got the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. That's the big shoe coming up.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the big Steve note coming up here, you know? A lot of stuff going on. Pretty cool.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, this is, you know, things usually get announced at two times the year, and or the big things usually get announced two times the year. They're usually at the Worldwide Developer Conference or they're at Macworld. And so these are the two big points in the Mac year where Christmas presents can show up under the tree.
We'll get some cool guests for this hour, too. We got Paul Kent, Vice President of IDG World Expo, the man with the plan in charge of Macworld.
Yes.
Is he going to fix it? Well, Paul, help it.
If anybody can do it, it's Paul, man. Paul can turn this around.
We'll see, man.
Yeah.
If he can last there longer than a year, then he's going to be the king because everybody else so far, they has killed. One Macworld, one and a half Macworlds, two Macworlds, and you're done. So Paulie's been doing the conference stuff for years, and now he's the man in the suit.
Oh, yes.
So do we trust him?
I trust him. Okay. Paul's, you know Paul. And
I know I'm great. I trust the cat, but, you know, I'm giving him a little flack, you know.
Yeah.
You're wearing that polyester nylon now, brother. You know, you got to watch out.
And what else we got? Hey, Dina Orlando is back from major surgery.
Yeah, allegedly she had been injured in a fencing accident. So I think she's going to join us today. They were here, but I think they slipped off into the ether. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yes.
Hey, you're a Nikon user, right?
Oh, I love Nikon. Yes.
Do you get Nikon User Magazine, Nikon Capture User?
No, but, you know, I have all my friends work on that software.
Well, there was a magazine called Capture User, but I've seen they haven't updated it since, like, spring of 2004, so I guess the thing's dead.
Oh, really?
The magazine must be. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to say.
I mean, Capture 4 is the new...
Yeah, I really think that Nikon is doing some amazing stuff in software. That makes the... I mean, I really think that's the whole part of the digital camera space that people don't really understand. To shoot in RAW mode and then to have really good software for taking your pictures and getting the most out of them through an entire workflow. And I think Nikon Capture is... and especially the new Capture NX, it is an amazing piece of software.
I haven't used it yet. I'm right now in the process of doing a full extensive review on a Canon EOS 1.
Well, they're both good.
It's a Mark
II.
They're
both fantastic companies, and you will get great images out of both cameras. I'm just more familiar with them.
I currently own a Sigma SD10 with a Phobion chip. That's quite its own little creature in its own. Mm-hmm. But I'm really impressed with this full feature Canon. Now, you know, it's $4,000 for the body alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one we're going to do is the 1MDS Mark II S.
The 16 full frame. Megapixel. 16 megapixel.
But, you know, I really dig this camera and it shoots RAW and JPEGs at once. But we'll talk about that later. But, you know, there's just a bevy of cool stuff going on. Atlanta Mac, we'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PM. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the leaders in digital imaging technologies, reviews, you name it. Check them out at popphoto.com. Right now we're here with Paul Kent, Vice President of IDG World Expo, and they have a brand new show. Well, not really brand new, but new to IDG World Expo, the Mac Networkers Retreat. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Scott, long time. How you been?
Good, man. How are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Hey, how you doing there, Paul? It's Brad.
Nice to see you, Brad.
Hey. So tell us here. You are now the man in the suit, the man with the plan from IDG, and you're in charge of Macworld Expo. But I see now that IDG has rolled in your former show, Mac Networkers Retreat, as part of an IDG Expo, you know, brand of events.
Now, the first thing is, you know, you and I know each other a pretty long time, so you're going to have to go easy on that suit thing, okay?
Oh, you were listening to that.
Well, but, you know, he's a man with a plan. You know,
that's
he's in
the
a
plan,
suit.
Not the suit, though.
Oh, okay, really? Oh. So you don't have to wear a suit now?
So, no,
he's wearing
no
shorts
suits,
and
never.
Birkenstocks.
Dude, every Macworld for decades, I've seen the vice president of IDG World Expo, even back before Charlie Greco, okay? All these cats were wearing suits. Dude, I'm waiting until January.
No, I got a nice jacket.
Okay. A jacket's cool, dude.
Yeah. You'd look weird walking around Macworld in a suit, don't you think?
Yeah.
You would look like you were just like,
you know,
a
I could see Paul with a nice
you.
Pair of Levi's, you know, and a cool blazer deal and, you know, a little cool really
got that
shirt. Maybe a Robert
look.
Graham happening shirt there.
Maybe a little turtleneck.
Yeah,
no, and
French
the thing
cuffs.
Is, the amount of grief I'd take from my friends if I did that, it would be unending.
Considering you're the rock and roll guy, man.
That's right, and don't you forget it.
Okay, so that out of the way, tell us about this gig coming up here in Aptos and beautiful Monterey. We have the Mac Networkers Retreat. It's rolling to IDG now. What's up?
So, you know, for the past 2 years, I've done this event called the Mac Networkers Retreat, where we get enterprise networking professionals. These are people who do networks. They do support for large organizations. They do network design. Basically, if you work in a place where there's more than 50 Macs, that's what this event is designed for. And I wanted to do it something different because this stuff is so hardcore, so geeky, so technology intensive. So I just wanted to do it different than, like, go to some downtown hotel and have rubber chicken and you know, just veg out as a talking head talks to you. So what we've done is we've created an event that's really kind of nice. We do it in a cool place. Like the first year we did it in Santa Barbara. Last year we did it in this nice little hotel on Monterey Bay called the Seascape Hotel. And it was so nice we're going to go back there this year. And it's just a nice setting. It's very relaxed. The instructors are great. The interaction is great. There's a lot of information that gets transacted there, but the whole vibe of the event is much more conversational. So we have two-day classes on everything from security to server deployment to building wireless networks, really kind of hardcore stuff. But the vibe of the place and the vibe of the instructors and the other attendees that are there make it a very congenial type of thing. I mean, you get to know a lot of people. You get to do some social networking. It just feels really, really like the right way to dispense this type of information.
And it gets those people that normally have to work in an office building out into the sun and enjoy things.
That's it. You know, this concept of social networking is really important to the success of this event. One thing that we do, because this hotel is right on the beach, we hold a geeky bonfire where everybody goes down, they toast marshmallows, they have some hot chocolate or other things. and they talk, you know, the conversation just keeps going. And it's really, we find it to be a very effective, and in all seriousness, we find it to be a very effective way for education to take place, kind of to take hold. So you may be listening to your instructor for, you know, several hours during the day, but the chance to get out in the fresh air and clarify whatever you didn't understand or find out where to go for additional resources and really kind of roll your sleeves up and immerse yourself in the types of problems that enterprise network managers are having, it's really a wonderful environment for it. I mean, people have just loved the concept of it. It's different. It's almost like the anti-conference, if you know what I mean. It's not, like I said, about rubber chicken and downtown hotels and taxis and noise and that type of thing. We go someplace else where you can hear yourself think, and the amount of stuff that you learn after 2.5 days with us is really, really extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a great gig. I was down there last year, and it's cool. It's definitely a really in-depth geek fest. It's very relaxing. It's a beautiful environment.
Well, what kind of areas of the industry do people typically show up from this? Is it from the creative side? Is it from financial? Is it from the movie business?
So, like I said, we've had people from all different types of organizations there. We've had people from, you know, major retailers, major creative shops, Hollywood movie studios, advertising agencies. The thing that unifies everybody is that they're trying to figure out how to deploy Mac Enterprise products. So this would be like Apple's XServe products, how to deploy RAID products, enterprise applications. So we're really talking about stuff that when you've got a service, anything from 50 to, 15,000 users. We get a lot of people from educational organizations, people who manage labs, whether they're research labs or actually, like educational labs. So K-12 organizations and a lot of the major universities send people to this. That's the unifying factor. It's the people who organize everything from the servers to the wires to the wireless, all the infrastructure that it takes to service large enterprise deployments of people who are using macOS technology.
So what's some of the areas, the major topics of the conference that you'll be covering?
The way that we do this is we have some conference session and discussion groups, and then the heart of the event are these two-day classes that people take, and I'll tell you what the course titles are for that. So one of the main things that people come to us looking for is how to figure out how to get Macs and Windows environments. You have a little cluster of a Mac environment here, a little cluster of a Windows environment there. We have workshops to help people do that. Another thing is people want to figure out how to build really, really big wireless networks. You have a whole campus, and you want to allow people with their wireless device to have access to that network or the Internet anywhere they go, miles across. We have a wonderful course taught by Dr. Bill Wicking, who comes in from Hawaii, who's really one of the experts on 802.x wireless, any of the generations of wireless networking. He comes in, he actually takes the class, they go on a field trip, he shows people how you can detect wireless repeaters miles and miles away, and how to build kind of flawless, seamless wireless networks. So wherever you go in a given area, he actually was the guy who designed a wireless network for the island, the big island of Hawaii. He also did a wireless network that's just one of the coolest things in the world for Denali National Park up in Alaska, where kids can actually go through this park with laptops, right, and eyesight cameras. And if they come across a plant or an animal and they want to know what it is, they can just point the eyesight camera at whatever they're asking about, and the ranger back at the ranger station is hooked up wirelessly also, and he can communicate with them over instant message exactly what they're looking at. So it's brilliant, just wonderful use of the technology. And so he's coming to our retreat in order to teach people how to build those types of things.
Hey, Polly, we're coming to a break. Can you hold on one sec, buddy, with us while we go through the break?
Happy to.
I want to finish talking about this. I want to let people know where they can sign up for it, what the dates are, all that kind of cool stuff. So you're here with Paul Kent. He is the vice president of IDG World Expo, the man with a plan when it comes to Macworld. They got this new gig they're doing now called the Mac Networks Retreat. Third year in the row here, this thing's been going on. It's very cool. It's in Aptos, California. I personally attended. It's a great gig. It is really informative. And like I said, if you're a network guy, this is the place for you. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010. The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by American Photo Magazine. You can check them out at AmericanPhoto.com. We're here with Paul Kent, Vice President of IDG World Expo, and we've been talking about the cool gig coming up here called the Mac Networks Retreat. Now, Paul, where can we find out more information about the gig? When's it going to be? How much? All that kind of cool stuff.
October 9th through 11th. In Aptos, California, at the Seascape Hotel, which is right on Monterey Bay. And for all the information about pricing, all the descriptions about the sessions, you can go browse www.mac, networkersretreat, all one word, .com.
Very cool. Now, we got a couple seconds here. Tell us about Macworld Expo coming up here. You're the man with the plan.
Yep. So we're in full stream building out Macworld Expo for January 8th through 12th at the Moscone Center. We've got a lot of surprises coming up. I hope I'll have a chance to come back on with you, Scott, because we're going to be announcing some really cool new expansions to the show, since this is the first year that I've had the opportunity to run the show right from January 1st all the way through to an event itself. So we've got some really cool things that are going on. The show will be much bigger, have a lot of new attractions, a lot of new speakers, a lot of new interesting things to do. We're definitely getting really cool new exhibitors involved with the show, a lot of people from the photography field, a lot of people from the digital video, music and audio, gaming. It's going to be a really, really cool show this year.
Excellent. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to having you back very soon to start talking about Macworld Expo.
Great talking with you both.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Cool stuff there. Yeah, the Mac Networkers Retreat, I was there last year. I've been to both years, actually. The deal with Santa Barbara was really cool because it was actually, you stayed in the dorms.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
Oh, and that's a good school, too, to be staying at the dorms at.
Yeah, well, it was empty, so.
Oh, it was empty. Ah!
It was lame. But, you know, it was cool otherwise. You know, it was a pretty neat deal, actually. And the one in Aptos is nice, too. Very scenic.
Yeah.
So, cool stuff there.
Especially the party on the beach afterwards.
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah, you just, you know, get out Cat 5 cabling.
It'll be cool.
That's it. There's nothing like a 1,000-foot roll of Cat 5 and a crimper.
I love the smell of Cat 5 in the morning. Cat 6. I don't think anybody's using Cat 5 anymore. We're saying it's
whatever,
Cat 10
you know,
now.
Who cares? Hey, we're here with Dina Orlando back from her fencing accident to join us with the Mac Minute Daily News Summary of the Week. Hello, Dina. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing much better. That was tough last week.
Yeah? Whew. Terrible.
Did the other guy really lose a hand?
No, just a few fingers, actually.
Oh,
just
that's her girl.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, a lot of stuff happened this week. People are using iPods to use in their cars. They're integrating it. They're putting in Mac Minis and all that stuff to use their iPods.
Right.
Well, it's becoming the norm now for people to do that. Macworld UK said that market research firm Harris Interactive's Auto TechCast has reported that almost two-thirds or 65% of adult car owners who have iPods or other MP3 players use a device in their vehicles. The study notes that the car owners use some type of adapter to use their player while driving. It was conducted to close to 13,000 U.S. adults ages 18 and over who own or lease a vehicle, and the report shows that 1 in 10 of all adult automobile owners have iPods or MP3 players, but usage in vehicles depends on the driver's age. For instance, younger drivers, aged 44 years and younger, are most likely to use the devices. And out of many iPod automobile interfaces, the cassette adapters and FM transmitters have been proven to be the popular option.
A fine device, especially after you step on it on the floor a few times. Yeah. You're going back to Radio Shack. I need another one.
But Harris Interactive's research claims that they may be soon passé. Sorry to say that.
Amen.
It professed that more than half of the consumers who own or use an iPod in their vehicle said they'd very likely to consider purchasing an interface or, for their vehicle respondents, they want either an auxiliary jack, Bluetooth, FireWire, or USB interface.
And bringing that up, a story that was on AP from Friday is that Apple's teamed up with GM, Ford, and Mazda, and 99% of all 2007 models is going to have built-in iPod integration.
That was the next story.
He's stealing the thunder.
Thanks, I didn't even know
that. We'll talk about more about that after the break here. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Mac Update. If you want to find the place to get the coolest software updates for your Macintosh, check them out, MacUpdate.com. We're here with Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily Radio News Program, and we've been talking about iPod integration into your automobile, and I blew one of her stories that she was going to talk about GM and Ford laying down for the man and putting, like a 70% integration of iPods into the cars. But I think you have more info that you can tell us.
No, basically, you said most of it. Ford, General Motors, Mazda are all doing that. Actually, Ford and General Motors are doing the iPod integration, and Mazda's doing an iPod connectivity. So that's the only difference with them.
This has an interesting angle on it when you consider where people are trying to get into like the Zune Microsoft player. You know, it's an interesting impact because it's going to be so much harder for anyone else to penetrate this market.
Definitely. With Apple's recent switch to Intel processors, there's been a wide speculation that more people would purchase a Mac thanks to its ability to run Windows through dual boot options like Bootcamp, as well as through hardware emulators like Parallels Desktop. Raster Vector is a company that surveyed its readers to find out about the future of hardware. When they asked which computer will you purchase next, the results were conclusive. Mac Towers took the lead with 44.9%, while Mac Laptops came in second with 30.6% of the vote. And PCs took the third slot with 16%, which is a four-time lead over PC laptops that took only 4% of the vote.
Have you guys ever seen data like that, that suggested that 90% of the market dominated by Microsoft is suddenly reversing itself? I mean, this is really hinged upon the bumping from the iPod in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, I mean, you see when they start making iPod interfaces into cars, it's starting to hit critical mass. And once something hit critical mass, all Microsoft right now is a bad beta tape, dude, sitting in the corner rotten.
Sort of the 8-track tape of its day.
Whatever, you know, let them try. Who cares?
I'd love to know how big the control group was that they surveyed.
The story didn't say, actually.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's probably the first time that these kind of figures have come around like that, where Microsoft isn't the dominant unit of choice.
There's another survey that was taken this past week, and it's actually said that women would prefer technology opposed to shoes. I don't know if you heard this one. It was on the news on the TV a couple nights ago.
Obviously, Imelda Marcos was not polled.
Maybe not. Well, she may have changed her ways since then, though.
Isn't she dead?
I don't know.
No, but she's just in exile.
I don't know where she is.
Well, a recent survey has showed that jewelry isn't as important as it used to be for women. Today's woman wants a new plasma TV or an iPod.
Atta girl.
See, we are looking at potentially the diamond-studded plasma TV from De Beers.
Oh. How do we get that on a titanium band? I'm not sure.
This survey called Girls Gone Wired was conducted by market researcher TRU for Oxygen. Making this difficult, making me laugh all the time. TRU surveyed 1,400 women and 700 men between the ages of 15 to 49 years old to compare tech attitudes among the sexes, and they found that 3 out of 4 women said they'd choose TV or iPods over a little black dress or shoes or diamond rings or necklaces and what have you.
Wow, cool stuff. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Show. Check them out for all your printing needs at printingforless.com. Dina, thank you so much. That was great, cool stuff.
My pleasure. Cool news
for the week. You can listen to Dina's show Monday through Friday over on iTunes. Check it out at InsideMacRadio.com or just go over to iTunes and type in Inside Mac. Get all of Dina's great news daily. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Excellent news for the week. And then we have a very cool guest right now that just has a brand new announcement. We have Barb DeHart. She is the vice president for Flip for Mac from Telestream, and they just acquired Popwire. Hey, Barb, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Glad to be on the show.
Great. Thank you so much. So you guys just acquired Popwire.
We did.
So give our little listeners a background what Flip for Mac is and sort of how PopWire integrates with that and what you guys are doing over at Telestream.
Okay. So Telestream has been around since 1998, and we're best known for our Flip Factory Windows server-based transcoding and delivery products, very commonly found in broadcast and high-end post-production workflows and that sort of thing. A couple of years ago, we introduced a Mac-based product family called Flip for Mac, and that is a completely different, well, it's different in many ways. One is that it typically we sell components either for QuickTime, for OS X-based QuickTime applications. We also sell a Pro series of products that allow you to import and export content in and out of Final Cut Pro. So obviously, it's called Flip for Mac. It is very Mac-centric. It is targeted absolutely at the Mac media market. And so on one end, we have the components and the import and export tools for Mac-based media professionals. And on the other end, we have enterprise-level broadcast transcoding and delivery products on Windows, on Windows-based products. So we've kind of covered two different ends of the spectrum. And PopWire, for those of you who don't know, is a Swedish-based company that has several years ago introduced a product called Compression Master, which started out as a desktop transcoding or encoding tool set really for the compressionist. All Mac-based, all the PopWire products are Mac-based. And then more recently introduced a series of products called Compression Engine, which add where Compression Master operates really as a desktop type of application. Compression Engine adds really robust server-based encoding horsepower behind the Compression Master product. And so we think that their products just fit, actually, I should say our products now, that those PopWire products fit right in between where our Flip for Mac products play and where our Flip Factory product plays. So it's a series of compression tools, either at the desktop or server-based OS X, tools that really help drive the increasing market that Final Cut professionals and other Mac users are really realizing now with the discussion you guys had previously about the adoption of the Mac platform.
Now, in your business, where do you see the strongest growth element of the entire compression? Do you think it's more on the Windows Media side? Did you see there's a lot of interest now in encoding things for the iPod?
Well, I think that the answer to that question is yes for both. I mean, we have been very involved in the Windows Media on the Flip for Mac side of things. We have WMV components that allow you to import, export, and play Windows Media on the Mac, and Microsoft distributes the player version of that for us. So we have a lot of experience with Windows Media type workflows on the Mac, but iPod certainly has become increasingly more important, along with other formats. The whole aspect of DVD authoring and support for other MPEG variants, H.264, 3GPP. You know, there are a lot of formats that our Mac users need, you know, great tools, great, reliable, robust tools, and that's one of the things that we're very proud of, and one of the things that most attracted us to the PopWire opportunity, along with a great group of people there. But the products that they have developed have been robust and really well designed and really well implemented, so we're real excited about that.
How has the rollout been with the Flip for Mac product being actually distributed by Microsoft and then have... Very cool, where you actually get the player for free, but then you can actually do encoding with it, and you have different levels of the encoding available as a additional, you know, you can buy it if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want it for free, just a player, you can
You can add that capability to it. Yeah, and it's been quite good. For a company like us that's been distributing, previous to the Microsoft distribution, we were distributing things on our own, and we're really quite happy with the results, but it becomes an order of magnitude larger when you have, you know, tens and tens of thousands of downloads every day of a product. So it's been great, actually. We're very happy.
So is PopWire going to stay PopWire in Sweden and what they're going to do and everything's going to be sort of the same, or is there going to be some type of everything's going to sort of roll into one deal, or is there just going to see maybe the flip for Mac and coding components maybe rolled into Poplar? How's all the stuff going
to
work?
Since we just closed the deal on Tuesday, we aren't quite sure of the answer to all those questions yet. But what we do have in place is that Popwire AB, or Popwire the entity itself, has gone away. So Telestream AB is the new organization that all of those products and the people and everything fall under now. So Telestream, in essence, has a location now in Sweden. We're working through, and we're looking really to IBC, which is happening at the beginning of September. We're looking to that time frame to really be able to announce a more cohesive story as far as all the products go, and how, you know, which products fall into which features fall into which products. And our goal is to really take the best of both worlds and try to, you know, make it a win-win all the way around. One of the other things that Popwire has done is they've done a lot of development from the ground up of codecs. And so we certainly see the value in using those ground-up development pieces in our other products like Flip Factory. And on the Flip for Mac side of things, on the WMV side of things, you know, what features do the Popwire WMV components have that we don't have, and how can we then, you know, how can we roll it in so that we take the best of everything?
Traditionally, you've been more focused on the server type of aspect of the business, but you're now pushing more into the application space.
That's very true. Now, our Flip Factory products and most of the products that we have on the enterprise side of our business really are server-based, kind of big horsepower, throw lots of work at them kinds of tools. On the Flip for Mac side of thing, it's really the whole other end of the spectrum because it's components for QuickTime applications on the Mac. The products that we have acquired through the Popwire deal really have bridged the middle point there and given us, certainly on a Flip for Mac side of things, applications that, you know, fall, as you said, they're giving us applications, desktop type of applications or work group type of applications where we haven't really played a role before.
Now, if someone wants to get Popwire's Compression Master, I know they just had a new version come out fairly recently. It's still available from that site. Is the URL still work?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is currently available as it was prior to August 1st, which is if you want Popwire products, go to popwire.com. And if you want Flip for Mac products, go to flipformac.com and Telestream. You can find it at Telestream. So, of course, you know, one of the pieces that we're developing now is how we integrate those things and how we get Compression Master out there to more eyeballs. And you know, so we're working through that. And like I said, early next month is when we hope to have a cohesive message to the market.
Excellent stuff there. So give me some more background on other products. I mean, I know we have Flip for Mac that is basically the default player now for Windows Media stuff because Microsoft discontinued their whole development program for Windows Media Player, correct?
That's correct.
So what to do now, and I prefer it myself, is you can get the Flip for Mac plugin and play all your stuff right in QuickTime. It plays in a browser, in a QuickTime window. You can set the default, whatever you want it to do.
Yes, with the exception of DRM, Windows Media DRM protected content, which, boy, we are working on trying to find a solution to that. Microsoft has told us that they will not be licensing their DRM playback on non-Windows operating system. So that wasn't great news to us, but we are diligently trying to find a solution for that and hope to have that solved. But other than that, Flip for Mac really can become a replacement or can really be a replacement for the Windows Media Player on the Mac.
Right. Now, tell me about some of the other Telestream products. We have about a minute left here, so maybe you can just give us a little outline. Do you make any other products that are currently available and do stuff on the Mac besides what Flip for Mac does?
Right. Well, Flip for Mac WMV is the one that we're most well known for, but we do have components, pro components, that import and export basically MXF-based content from devices like Sony XD Cam, Ikigami Edit Cam, soon to be Grass Valley Infinity, and Grass Valley server-based import and export components. So the idea there is how do you just seamlessly move files from those devices into Final Cut for native editing and then back out to those devices. So those are other great little tools that we have out there.
Hey, Barb, can you stay with us for 1 second here while we come to break? I want to wrap up when we get back and tell everybody where they can get all the great stuff you guys are working
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
There we go. Very cool. We have Barbara DeHart, Vice President of Telestream, in charge of the whole Flip for Mac product line. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
We'll Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz. Check his show out Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We're here with Barbara DeHart. She is the vice president from Telestream in charge of the Flip for Mac product line. We've been talking about their new acquisition of Popwire, the Compression Master product, and all the stuff they got going on with the Flip for Mac, the WMV plugin. Now, Barbara, where can people get the actual plugin to play Windows Media on their Mac, and where can they find out more information on Popwire's Compression Master and all the stuff you guys are up to?
You can find all that information out from flipformac.com. That's www.flip4mac.com. From there, you can get to the Telestream site if you're interested in the Telestream stuff, and you can certainly link to Popwire. Most importantly, for lots of people who want to get to that player, you can link to the download site, and it will give you access to the free player.
Yeah, and I know you guys just had an update to like 2.1 or something.
2.1, which supports our Intel Mac. So
yay!
My MacBook Pro is happy.
That's cool stuff there. And then, like I said, if you have a Grass Valley K2 server, that you can get some cool software from Telestream to pull that content off your Grass Valley content broadcast server into your Final Cut Pro system.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool stuff there, because everything is now pretty much all MPEG-based storage on broadcast media. So, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Been my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Great stuff there. You guys definitely want to check their stuff out because it's very cool. The whole encoding thing works great. I've played with it, done some stuff for NAB, encoded some Windows Media content for them that we created at NAB on the Mac, and their plugins work great. The one component's free. You can set the default bill, so you click on a web link that's got some heathen content encoded in nasty
heathen
WMA
content.
it pops right up in QuickTime and plays nicely, and it's happy. And
yes, bridging the bridge to the
thing
heathens.
Is, though, still, but here's there's only one problem, and it's nothing to do with the great people over at Telestream. It's these websites that make content like Feedroom. Okay, Feedroom does a lot of this streaming and video stuff for a lot of big radio television organizations and stuff like that, and you can't go get the content because it says your browser is not compatible, even though it's a nasty heathen Windows Media Stream.
Right.
And it'll play on the Mac now with this cool Flip for Mac plugin.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a deal to cloak what browser you're using. Hi, I'm using Internet Explorer 6. Idiot. Oh, and it'll let you work, and then you have the Flip for Mac plugin, and it plays the stuff.
Yeah, it's still.
I wonder if someone
that
makes a piece of cloaking software.
I think it's gonna be. Yeah, I think there's gonna be a solution out there. Hey, we got some Dina still here. Interesting story about you're telling me about these MP3 accessory market.
Yeah, I know what I want to do when I grow up. I'm gonna own an iPod accessory production plant. They're just growing with leaps and bounds. You go on the news sites, and every single day there's iPod this, iPod accessory for that. And actually, the industry has grown from $50 million in 2001 to $2 billion in 2006. I mean, it's growing amazingly. Speaker systems, you know, armbands for running, and it's just amazing. So.
Yeah, that really is a massive tech boom in itself, a $50 million market. So if you got in on the $50 million side in 2001...
You can retire.
Your growth rate is just tremendous. Now, obviously, it's not all big players, but it is pretty amazing.
Very cool stuff. I'd like to thank the guests of today's Inside Mac radio program. Of course, we had Philip Hodges on doing the digital production buzz, Andy Scheller with the Mac Design Out of the Box tip, Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. We had, of course, Dean Orlando here doing the Inside Mac Minute Daily News, Paul Kent, Vice President of IDG World Expo, and we just had Barbara DeHart, Vice President for Flip for Mac. That is the Telestream company that owns Flip for Mac and Popwire. Very cool stuff. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac radio show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, FirmTech, and our media partners, a popular photography and imaging magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information about what's up with Inside Mac Radio, Inside Mac TV at www.insidemacradio.com and www.insidemactv.com. Look for great coverage here coming up from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference next week. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. You've been here with myself, Brad Wright, Dean Orlando. We'll be back next week with more great stuff about your Mac.